find an authorized version of Holy Scripture in front of you in the pew. If you would take it out and turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we're reading a short passage from the 20th chapter. The 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And we're reading at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the heaven, the earth, and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his very own infallible book. Amen and amen. I take the promised Holy Ghost. Blessed power of Pentecost. To fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God. He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. This morning we dealt with the subject, first things first. If you're interested, that service was recorded, and the recording studio behind the pulpit area here can supply you with a copy of that message if you're interested to have it. We have another subject tonight. Last things first. There is no contradiction between these two messages. For there are first things that God has ordered in divine sovereignty. Must be absolutely first. In our thinking, in our practicing, and in our believing. But there are also last things that should be coming first in our thinking. First in our practicing. And first in our expectancy and hope. There is a beacon that shines from God's word. It is a warning beacon. It illuminates the future. It x-rays what is going to be. And it issues its solemn warning to those who have turned aside from the path of God's holy commandments And those who have been lured away into the byways of sin and into the pitfalls that the devil has planned for blinded souls. It was the great prophet Moses who cried out, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they should consider their latter end." God calls us to a serious consideration of our latter end. Yes, this beacon reveals to us things that are last things, that can't be repeated, that there's finality, that there is a finish, and that there is an ending. In the 5th chapter of the book of Proverbs, we read of a young man void of understanding. He goes down the path of adultery and immorality and shame, and the Spirit of God finishes the narrative by saying, "Thou mourn at the last." And for such a soul, there is a last. And for such a soul, there is such mourning at the last. Far better for you to be uncomfortable in this house of God tonight and have a view of certain last things than to have the first view of those things illuminated to your mind, but it's too late to make any change or in any way disentangle yourself from the chains that are everlastingly locked upon a soul that is lost in the darkness of damnation forever. I want to focus tonight in this sermon on four last things. I want to talk a little about death as a last thing. I want to talk a little about judgment as a last thing. I want to talk a little about heaven as a last thing. And I want to talk a little about hell as a last thing. Death. Death marks the ending of our mortal life and experience on this planet Earth. It is urgent for each one of us to remember that all of us will die. There is no escape from death. It is the absolute folly of man, as we have seen it demonstrated this week, when they claim they have cloned a human being, and they claim that they will go on cloning human beings until they will give to man everlasting life on earth. It is appointed, says the God of heaven, unto man once to die. By man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And all men will die, no matter what claims are made by scientists or anyone else. The Scripture sheds a great beacon of warning. It lights up the death chamber. It announces at death that the probationary period of man on earth is finished. It has finalized. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is unclean shall be unclean still. He that is saved shall be saved still. He who has pardoned shall be pardoned still. He who is justified will be justified still. For a moment, let me picture for you the solemn hour when you will pass from this scene of earthly living. Oh, you say, I have made it well in my life. I have lived, and I have never thought about eternity. I have lived for time, but not eternity. I have lived for living, and not for dying. I have passed through this world without thinking of the day that I'm going to pass out of this world. What a fool you are. For it is appointed unto man once to die. And you and I have an unbreakable meeting to attend. And that is the attendance at our own death. You have watched others who were contemporary with you in life, and they passed away. You did not want to dwell on their passing. You did not want to remind yourself that the generation in which you live is slowly but certainly and surely passing on. You have seen old Father Death with his scythe, and he has cut the sword, and your contemporaries have passed, but you are still here. You should thank God from the depth of your heart if you're unconverted, unbloodwashed, unready for eternity, that you're still in time. It is only the grace of God. It's only the providence of God. It's only the loving kindness of God. It's only the mercy of God that you're here alive at this time. And remember all those things that you've labeled gains in your living are not gains at all. Because everything you have gained, you're going to leave behind. You will take nothing with you. There are no pockets in the shroud. No places for the gains of earth to bring you some comfort when the everlasting darkness of eternity touches your spirit and soul and summonses them from your flesh into eternity. There is a great dividing river, and you have got to cross that river, and you have got to leave everything of time and embrace everything of eternity. Eternity! Eternity! Man and woman, where will you be in eternity? That is the urgent question for your consideration this night in God's house. But I remind you of two men in the Scriptures, and they were buried in the same locality. But what a contrast. One was a man called Balaam, a false prophet. He cried out in his hypocrisy, "Let me die the death of the wicked. Let my last end be like his." But he did not live like a righteous man. "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." He died as a wicked man. He went out into a wicked man's night of eternity and to the wicked man's day of judgment and to the wicked man's everlasting sentence of everlasting darkness forever. But there was another man. His name was Moses. He was a faithful prophet of God. We read concerning him that he made a choice. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made an estimation. He estimated the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had a unique death. He had a unique burial. He had a unique resurrection. And he has a unique eternity where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Whose company are you keeping for death? The company of Balaam, the hypocrite, who said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, but live the life of the wicked." Or are you with Moses? You have made your choice. A choice for Christ. A choice for truth. A choice for happiness. And a choice for the salvation of eternity. What eternity will you have? Will it be an eternity with Balaam or with Moses? Make your choice and make it well. For when death comes, it's final. It cannot be altered, or can it be ever changed? Death, the last thing. There is something else that is the last thing. It is judgment. It is appointed unto man, as I have already quoted the scripture, once to die, but after this, the judgment. If a man die, shall he live again? That's the question that was asked in the book of Job. The answer is yes, for man's spirit, man's soul never dies. All the other created creatures around us don't sigh for celestial lands. The animals die and are extinct, but man is not an animal. Man's life came when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so there is something within us that knows, I am not here forever. I have something that no beast of the field, or fowl of the air, or fish of the sea has. I have a conscience. Why? Because I am accountable to God. I have to give account of what I do here on earth. I am different. Men are inextinguishable as far as their souls are concerned. And the sun burns itself out in the heavens, as it will do. And the moon bleeds itself to death in the sky, as it will do. When the stars fall like untimely figs to the earth and are ground to powder and find their graveyard in a dark and milky way, we, you and I, will still live on. Everything around us will perish. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you'll not pass away. You'll live on. On and on forever. And the place where you live will be sealed in the day of judgment for you. All the world will attend that judgment. All the world will come to hear the final last sentence of the great judge of all the earth. Every soul shall give an account of himself to God. The Savior whom you have rejected, sinner friend, and neglected, and despised, and trampled on his blood, and turned your back on, he will be on the throne. He is the great judge of all the earth. The Lord shall come, but not the same as he came the first time. He came the first time in lowliness. He came as a silent lamb who opened not his mouth before those that accused him. He was a weary man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But the Lord shall come a dreadful form with rainbow wreath and robes of storm. On cherub's wings and wings of wind, the appointed judge of all mankind. You will meet Christ in a final interview, in final destiny making on that great judgment day. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat in it, from whose face the heaven and the earth did flee away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You well know, sinner, that if you died right now in this church meeting house, there are matters that you have left undone that you should have done. You know right well, unconverted man, unconverted woman, unconverted boy and girl, you know that there are things you have left undone. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to answer no. I left the matter of my faith undone. Have you decried all other righteousness? And are you clinging only to the righteousness of Christ? alone for mercy and salvation and the pardon of a thrice holy God. You have to reply, no, I have not. I have left the matter of my righteousness undone. Have you repented of your sins and the breaking of God's commandments? No, you have left the great matter of repentance undone. Are you born again? No, I am not born again. You have left the matter of your regeneration undone. Are you in Christ? Are you saved? No, you say, I'm not in Christ. I am not saved. You have left the matter of your relationship to Christ undone. You have left the matter of your eternal salvation, the salvation of your immortal soul undone. A broken man in Christ, a broken man on earth, in time, may still retain and regain and conquer his past failures. The bankrupt can start to build again in time and regain his wealth. The soldier fought and lost in time can fight again and get the victory. But those that are broken at the judgment bar of God, those that have lost when the final sentence is passed, those who have fought the battle and have been defeated in time cannot do anything to regain their position in eternity. If these matters are undone by you in time, they will never be done by you in eternity. Brother, sister, father, mother, son or daughter, is there something left undone? Oh, if you lose at the judgment, you are damned forever, and the darkness will be the blackness of darkness forever. I would appeal to you tonight to view your whole life. Don't listen to the sneers of other sinners blinded and hastening to hell. Care nothing for what the world says and what the world thinks, for the world is passing away, and its glories are passing away. Ask God Almighty to give you judgment day honesty, and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Death, judgment, heaven, the third of the last things is heaven. Heaven lights up under this beacon that God shines upon. I pray, God, it'll be the lot of every man and woman that hears my voice in this meeting house tonight, that they will be in eternity in heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The love of God was not in vain. The blood of Christ was not shed in vain. The communion of the Holy Spirit was not in vain. God has prepared his very own house, the Father's house, as the everlasting habitation of the saved, world without end. Amen. Entrance to heaven is free. It's without money, and it's without price. It was purchased for God's people by the blood of Jesus Christ. The passport is the garment that is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you that garment upon your soul tonight? None but blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. Is your face towards heaven this night? Are you traveling to the country of the blessed? Let me go, I would say, from the depths of my soul, where the saints are going, to the mansions of the blessed. Let me go where my Redeemer has prepared his people rest. I would gain the realms of brightness where they dwell forevermore. I would join the friends that wait me over on the other shore. Let me go, O speed my journey. Saints and seraphs lure away. Oh, I almost feel the raptures that belong to endless day. Oft methinks I hear the singing that is only heard above. Let me go, oh, speed my going. Let me go where all is love. Let me know, go, 'tis Jesus calls me. Let me gain the realms of day. Bear me over angels' pinions, longs my soul to be away. The child of God has a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But there is a contrast to heaven, and that contrast is hell. The same authority I have to believe in heaven is the exact same authority that I have and must believe in hell. Jesus Christ told me there was a heaven. Jesus Christ left on record, there is a hell. Hell is a prepared place for a prepared people. You are preparing your hell, sinner, every day. The Bible tells me you heap up wrath against the great day of wrath. You fuel your own eternity and the lake of fire by continuing to sin. Be sure your sin will find you out in hell. I would this night call upon you as you view the uncertainty of time, as you view the shortness and uncertainty of this present life, as you view the blackness of eternity that is a lost eternity, I implore you, as you view the terrors of that great judgment day, I implore you to turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading. Steer for the harbor bright, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. I cry to God this night that those that hear this message, will turn now, and with both hands outstretched, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. I trust you will make that great prayer your prayer, that, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the precious blood and take my sins away. Cry to God for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from sin, saved from hell, saved forever by the grace of God and the precious blood of Christ alone. May the Lord see to it tonight that you leave this meeting a saved soul and not a lost soul.